You would look in your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans to chapter 3. The book of Romans, and in chapter 3, and I'd like for us to read verses 19 through verse 31. As we look this morning at the subject of justification by faith. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. This matter of justification by faith is one of the cardinal doctrines of the Word of God, and therefore one of the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. You remove this doctrine, you have effectually killed Christianity. Any biblical doctrine like this matter of justification by faith will find itself always under the attack of Satan. Every biblical doctrine is hated by the devil, and so that is true of this matter of justification by faith. And there have been many over the years, and there are many today, who have fallen prey under the deceit of the devil concerning this matter of justification. Also, there are others who simply just do not understand, are just ignorant of the teaching of the Scripture of justification by faith. Maybe they just do not understand. I've heard some in trying to teach on the matter of justification teach it like it was sanctification, but it is not. Some have the idea that in justification, that righteousness is infused or imparted unto the particular individual, but that's simply not the case. Nothing happens, nothing changes within the individual when they are justified. Justification is simply a declarative act of God, whereby God declares or pronounces an individual righteous. Notice in our reading in verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier. This he is God, spoken of in the previous verse. God is the justifier. He is the judge. He is the one that pronounces an individual just. If you look over to Romans in chapter 8, you'll notice in verse 33, it states the matter very clearly and plainly. It is God that justifies. It is God that justifies. I'll never forget many years ago when I just started preaching, I heard Brother Jimmy Davis preach from that text. It is God that justifies, and I have never forgotten that unto this day. It is a declaration by God. If we keep in mind that justification is the exact opposite of condemnation, it might help in our understanding of it. Condemnation changes nothing in the individual. It's just a pronouncement of God. Here's the sentence, the punishment. You're guilty and condemned. In justification, God declares an individual just or righteous. I first was confronted many years ago in the late 70s with another false idea about the matter of justification. I don't remember the exact year, but I do remember having a confrontation or a discussion, I would say, on this matter with some preachers that I really respected. But they presented the teaching of eternal justification. And I did not and I could not believe it then, and I do not believe it now. And my simple mind could not conceive of an unbeliever being justified. And the teaching of eternal justification, and it's held by those that I would term as hyper-Calvinists, it is that since God has ordered, decreed from all eternity the salvation of His people, the redemption of Jesus Christ, then they are eternally justified. When I was first faced with that doctrine many years ago, my mind just could not accept that. You'd have individuals being born into this world, God's elect, born with a sin nature in unbelief, but then you've got to tell me that even while they're in unbelief, they're justified. I could not conceive that idea then, and I cannot now. Mainly, I do not believe it because it's simply not taught in the Word of God. It's just not found in the Scripture. Some might try to use their own personal feelings and reasoning to present that. But there's enough here in Romans chapter 3 to disprove that matter of justification being eternal. I want to read these verses again, verse 19 through verse 31. As I read and as you read with me, take note, if you would, of the words believe and the word faith as we read, and notice the importance. Beginning in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may be guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and that can really truly be understood by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. That sort of limits it, does it not? For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid we establish the law. Now, just reading this, and I've read it over many different times this past week, and I just do not know how language could be any clearer than what we have here in Romans in chapter 3. I refer again to verse 26. God is the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's enough. Just that one statement there by itself. If you look at verse 28, Paul said, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. If you look down to verse 30, in verse 30, you have the two words, by faith, then you have two more words, through faith. One referring to the Jews, one referring to the Gentiles. But it's not really two means or ways of justification. When the Scripture says in verse 30, by faith, that word by is that little word ek that we find so often in the Scripture that refers to the source. Justification comes as the result of an individual believing. Now you can go behind that to the grace of God, the blood redemption of Jesus Christ, but experientially, no one has justification except they believe. The word through faith here in verse 30 is the Greek word dia, D-I-A, and it just simply means by means of faith. By means of faith. So in both cases here, it's speaking about justification by faith. And again, I say these verses, just to me, absolutely disprove that matter of eternal justification. If justification is by faith, as our text plainly states, I would ask this question. When did you first trust Christ? He is the justifier of him which believeth. Again, Paul said in verse 28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith. When did you believe in Jesus? In eternity, before you were even born, or in time, during your lifetime? And again, it just simply disproves this matter of eternal justification. I refer often, and I'm going to go there again, to John chapter 3 and in verse 18. In John chapter 3 and in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Well, that's justification. Again, remember, justification is the opposite of condemnation. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In our natural state, it was a state of unbelief. And we were all under condemnation. Now, if that is not so, we did not need salvation. But we were under condemnation. As verse 18 says, he that believeth not is condemned already. Well, there was a period in all of our lives when we did not believe. Now, justification being the opposite of condemnation, it's an impossibility to be condemned and justified at the same time. Just cannot happen. There is no justification for anyone outside of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in His atoning blood. If you look in Romans in chapter 8, Romans, and in chapter 8, and I'll read verse 29 and verse 30, and as I read this, especially as we get to verse 30, notice the chronological order that is stated here in the Scripture. But I begin in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Notice that the justification comes after the calling in verse 30. And this calling is that effectual call of God, of His people, by the power of the Holy Spirit unto Jesus Christ. This calling certainly involves God-given faith unto them that enables them to believe in Jesus. This is, again, a real effectual calling, a drawing, if you would, unto Jesus Christ. And there is no justification until and unless that calling takes place. If you look back to Romans in chapter 5, I suppose chapter 5 in verse 1, is one of the most used and recognizable verses of Scripture concerning this matter of justification by faith. Romans 5 and in verse 1. Therefore, now when you read this therefore in Romans 5 and in verse 1, if you're not familiar with this, I'll mention it. From chapter 1, or somewhere around verse 18, all the way up to here, Paul has been stating two things. That all are under sin, all are sinners by nature. And then he's been teaching that justification, a right standing before God, cannot be obtained by the works of man. So he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Personally, I see here a cause and effect. Being justified by faith, what's the effect of that? We have peace with God. We have peace with God. And I could use Romans 5 and verse 1 as an effectual argument against that doctrine of eternal justification, because you and I have not always had peace with God. There was a time that you and I were enemies of God and our minds were at enmity with God, and God had a controversy with us. There was something going on here between us and God. God was not satisfied with us, but justified by faith. That's when the peace comes. That's when the peace that passes all understanding comes. It says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We enjoy peace with God. And we did not have that peace before this. And it's important to note here that the Scripture does not say that we made peace with God. But since God has declared us righteous, again, based upon the merits of Jesus Christ and His atoning blood, we have peace with God. Everything that stood between us and God is taken away. We have the forgiveness of sins. It's just all taken away. And we have peace with God. I'm going back to chapter 3. We have peace with God because we're justified by faith. Now that's an important statement. It was important during Paul's time, and it's important today during our generation. Paul spent a lot of time in his writings correcting the error in the churches of justification by works. I mean, here, the first four chapters, that's what he's dealing with. I'll look in a moment, the book of Galatians, what's that about? Well, that church had fallen from grace because the doctrine of justification by works had crept into the church at Galatia. Notice here in our reading in Romans 3, and I'm not going to read all the verses between verse 19 and verse 31 again. But notice verse 28, Paul's conclusion. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, why is that last phrase there if it's not important? Why didn't he just stop by saying, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith, because there was this matter of those teaching that justification was by works. And again, it's a point that needs to be taken here. In verse 31, Paul says, do we then make void the law through faith? He said, God forbid. I'm not talking about destroying, doing away with the law. He said, I'm establishing the law. Establishing the law. If you look over to Romans in chapter 10, there are many today that seem to have the doctrine of the Jews and the Pharisees during the days of Christ and the days of the Apostle Paul, who think that by some of their own actions, some of their works, that they can obtain a right standing before God. Notice Romans 10, I begin in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Why did they need to be saved? Well, they were lost to start with, but notice what he says about them. For or because I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. How many people like that do you know today? I know plenty. A zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Again, you have the word for or because in verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Going about to establish their own righteousness. Go with me now, if you would. I mentioned the book of Galatians. Look with me to Galatians, and I'll go to chapter 2 to begin with. In Galatians in chapter 2 and in verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Well, every saint ought to know that. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus. Why? That we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. This is what Paul had to deal with during his time in the churches. In the churches. Look at verse 21. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What need was the death of Christ? If we can establish our own righteousness before God, what need was there for Jesus to come and provide righteousness for us? Paul said that Christ is dead in vain. Look in chapter 5, if you would. Verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. I try to imagine Paul picking up the pen and penning these words, especially here in verse 4 when he said, whosoever of you. He's making that pretty personal to the church and members of the church at Galatia. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Back to chapter 3, Galatians. Galatians in chapter 3, verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which should have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should be afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Paul said, I'm not making void the law. I'm establishing the law. The purpose of the law. What was the purpose of the law? Well, it's stated here to bring us to Christ. It was a teacher. It taught us about our own sin, our sin nature. It taught us about the only hope of salvation, the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said again here, verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Can you see here how even in verse 24, this matter of calling is involved? Calling before justification, being brought to Christ in verse 24 in order that we might be justified. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, Acts and in chapter 13, verse 38. Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. By Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified. Now to me, that just excludes every unbeliever. Every unbeliever. By Him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. There's some in their denial of the matter of justification by faith have even said that faith is a work, therefore salvation and justification is by works. In saying that, believing that, and teaching that, they just manifest their ignorance of the Word of God. You remember in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, where it stated that faith is a gift of God? Not a work. It's a gift of God. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 22, that faith is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Any and all who understand the matter of faith in the Scripture know that faith is a grace. It's a grace that is given unto us by God. We're told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 3, all men have not faith. You know, the Arminians have the idea that everybody has faith and if you just get it worked up somewhere and get them to use it, you'll get them saved. But all men have not faith. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Why did you spend years in unbelief? Because you didn't have faith. If you'd have had faith, you'd have believed. You could not believe till God gave you faith. It is a grace of God. I won't turn there, but in the book of Job, and I'm going to bring this to a close. In the book of Job, in chapter 9, you have a question that was asked many, many years ago. As far as we know, Job's the oldest book of our Bible. There's a question there that was placed by Job, and it's still being asked today, still being discussed today. How should a man be just with God? How is it? Well, the Scripture is very clear. It's God that justifies. In our reading, I'll look at it, read it just one more time, verse 26 of Romans in chapter 3. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. How is a man just with God? Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, chapter 8 and verse 33, it's God that justifies. Brother Royce, come and lead us if you would.